Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to talk about giving your life, number one, because God isn't really interested in our giving as far as helping others in different ways until we have given our life to Him. Jesus gave us an illustration of what He desires and what He doesn't desire, and it's called the parable of the Good Samaritan, which you can read in Luke 10. And to sum up that parable, the teaching of Jesus, there was a man who was robbed and he was beaten and left for dead. Three different men passed by this man who was beaten and robbed. First two men that passed right by the man in need walked right by him and rendered no aid. Both of those men were religious men. They were a priest and a Levite. Those were two men who were religious men or sinful rebels with a religion. So these two men, the priest and the Levite, proved that they were not of God by their refusal to render aid. So these men refused or neglected and did not joyfully jump into action to help the hurting man. So these men proved to be unlike God when God saw mankind's condition, that man had been robbed and ruined and destroyed and beaten up by sin. He sent his only begotten Son to save us. God so loved the world that he gave, and when we're born again, we're going to be like God. We're going to give, we're going to render aid, we're going to be a blessing anywhere and anytime we can. So while we were yet sinners, the Bible says God sent his only begotten Son to rescue us. So the third man who came upon the beaten and robbed and left for dead man is the Good Samaritan, and he rendered aid. He immediately came to the aid and the help of the man who was destroyed. The Bible says that when the Good Samaritan, the third man, saw the hurting man, quote, he had compassion on him. Isn't that what God did when he looked down and saw that we were separated from him in our sin, and then he sent his only begotten Son? Make no mistake, the parable of the Good Samaritan first and foremost illustrates the love of God by sending Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate Good Samaritan. So what did the Good Samaritan do when he began to render aid to the hurting man? Well, we're going to let the Bible answer that. And notice that the first thing he did, the Good Samaritan, when rendering aid to the hurting man, the dying man, is that he had compassion on him, and then he went to him. He got his hands on this man and he bound up his wounds, which represents stopping the bleeding. So that represents initial salvation when Jesus and the Father bind up our wounds, or they stop the bleeding. He washes away all of our sins in initial salvation when he saves us. Remember, only God can stop the bleeding of sin in our lives, the misery and the death it brings. I think I can speak for every one of us that is a parent that it doesn't matter if you live to be 1,000 years old, when you hear a little baby crying, a little child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, your heart, your bowels are desiring to help that baby, to stop his crying, to stop the bleeding of whatever's causing him pain. The next thing that the Good Samaritan did after he stopped the bleeding, he bound up the wounds of the hurting man, is that he poured in oil and wine into his wounds. Pouring in oil and wine represents the cleansing and the healing of God in our lives through Christ. Wine cleanses and oil brings the healing. So when Christ saves us, he stops the bleeding and begins the healing process of making us whole in him. The next thing it says that this Good Samaritan did to the man that was left for dead is that he set him on his own beast or on his own donkey or animal that was used for transportation. So apparently, or perhaps this represents salvation and our growth in Christ thereafter, where he heals our wounds, he stops the bleeding by saving us, then he pours in the oil and the wine to begin to make us whole, and then he sets us on the vehicle of his salvation and moves us forward.
And perhaps that represents our continual growth and sanctification in abiding with and in Christ through the crucified life, and also ultimately our place of rest that is represented by the inn or the motel of his day there, where the Good Samaritan, which is ultimately Jesus, brought the wounded man, the sin destroyed man, now restored by Christ to a place of rest, which is figurative of our eternal salvation and rest forever in eternal glory. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're going to rest in our beds. Isaiah 57:2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and there's going to be many mansions in eternal glory. It's going to be the place of eternal rest for the saints of Christ. And that could be represented again by this inn where the Good Samaritan brought the wounded man to rest and to heal.
And so here we are with the Good Samaritan. Perhaps we can get the picture that he's walking alongside of his beast and navigating the beast forward with the hurting man on the beast. And so they're traversing forward and they come to an inn or a motel so that this man can be further taken care of,
where he can rest and be made whole and have time to heal.
So the man that was hurting is now cleansed, he's saved, he's being made whole, and now he's coming and being brought by God to a place of refuge in the inn, if you will, in the motel, out of the elements of the world.
And far away from danger.
So it now says at the end of the sentence that he took care of him. This seems like it represents Christ the Savior and his body helping and taking care of Christians when God saves them and helping them to grow in Christ. In 1 Timothy 2:4, the Bible says that God's will is that all men would be saved and, after they're saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. God says he wants to perfect or bring to completion and maturity all the things that concern the people he saves.
Psalm 138:8, also Colossians 2:6-7.
We're going to recap this salvation and sanctification picture we see here, where the Good Samaritan, which represents first Christ and then his people, he jumped to the aid of the hurting man and bound up his wounds. He began to pour oil and wine to cleanse and help him be made whole. And then he traveled forward. He brought him forward to where he could have refuge in a place of growth and learning and establishing him in Christ's kingdom.
So this seems to
speak of discipleship and how we help those believers, those disciples around us grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then it says that on the morrow or the next day, when the Good Samaritan departed, that he took out 2 pence, he took out some money and gave them to the host or the front desk at the hotel and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay or repay thee. So he forked out the cash to help this man in his life. And on that note, let me ask, are you, my friend, a giver? You know, someone has once observed that love gives, lust gets. What is it that you, my friend, are cheerfully giving for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in this brief life? Okay, so notice the Good Samaritan gave of his wealth to help this man. Whenever we really give ourselves to the Lord in salvation, we're going to give whatever it takes that he's put in our hands to help his kingdom prosper in the lives of those around us. When Jesus saves us and we abide in him, all of our time, treasure, and talents are going to be used for his glory. And we're going to be less and less entrenched in this fleeting world. Check out the end of Acts 2 and Acts 4 concerning the liquidation and the abandoning of this present world by the earliest followers of Jesus. Okay, so
the last words of this parable are these 5 words. Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise means go and follow Jesus, who gave all to redeem us.
In other words, do what Jesus did. Give your life to God first and then others. Lay down your life and let it be poured out as a living sacrifice for Christ. Live your life here on earth for the eternal glory of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so perhaps we can summate the import, the truth given to us by Jesus in his parable of the Good Samaritan this way. In one statement here, Jesus came to our aid, and like the Good Samaritan found the man who was destroyed, Jesus found us separated from himself and the Father in our sins, and he redeemed and regenerated and made us new creatures. And we are blessed and sent by Jesus as his very ambassadors, his Good Samaritans, to come to the aid of others who are being destroyed by sin, to help them, namely, in knowing him.
The Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, quote, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. Even as God the Father sent his only begotten Son to save us, we're now on Team Jesus, and we're used of God to help others to be reconciled to him, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. So the next verse, Ephesians 5:2, says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The Bible, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20, verse 35. And the first order of giving is giving our lives to the Lord, not only initially, but also daily. How many today desire to give their life afresh today to the Lord? Like the song says, Lord,
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Have your way in me. So do we have some people who are desiring to give their life to the Lord today and let him forgive all our sins and establish us in a relationship with him? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, beloved. In fact, the Bible, Jesus told us that he will never turn away anybody who comes to him with a sincere heart. Jesus says simply, come unto me. And remember that coming to Jesus requires that we come with an honest and sincere heart.
As you call on the Lord with everything that's in you, he's going to hear your cry. He's going to wash away all your sins and begin a fresh work of deepening you in the kingdom of Christ today, anchoring you, establishing you in Christ and using you like the Good Samaritan to help others to know him. Amen. Let's pray together, saints. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in my sin, admitting that I have sinned against you and I have not sought your face with all my heart. Right this moment, if never before, Lord Jesus, I ask you to save me and wash me with your blood, clean of all sin. Dear Lord Jesus, please take over my life right now completely. I'm all yours, Lord Jesus, and I know you are all mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for washing away all my sins in your precious blood. Now, Lord Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Ghost and use me to help others to know you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to give a little kingdom instruction here for what's happened today,
where several of you have repented and received Christ, as well as those in the last few weeks and months who have done the same.
I want to encourage and instruct here for the furtherance of the gospel in the lives of the saints. Water baptism is a public profession that you've been saved by Christ and you're now his child. There's going to be a big difference in the lives of those who, after they're saved, get water baptized. Now, we have material. If you just look up water baptism on Safeguard Your Soul, you'll be able to find a good study guide on that and some other stuff
to
give the scriptures to the believers there on that topic
for their edification and learning in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.